church, back in January, one of the first couple sermons that I preached, I joked in January. I have it on tape. I have it in my notes. I said something to the effect, man, before we know it, Christmas will be here. And everyone laughed. Ha, ha, ha. 55 days away from Christmas, I just want to remind you all. I know it almost sounds like cliche now, but time is just going so fast. It was just January, and now we'll be setting our clocks back next week, I think, for the last time. First, I don't know what we're going to do with daylight savings time, but it's November in a couple of days. It was just January. Time is going by if you blink, you're going to miss it. Our kids growing up, you know, I've been teaching a teen class for the past several months, and Luke and Landon, I mean, you guys used to be like that, and Luke, you know, I used to remember listening to Luke like sing out there. Luke had one of the most beautiful soprano voices you would ever know of, but now in class, like, hey, could you read this? And then Jesus said, like, where did that come from, right? Time is going by so fast, and if we don't just stop and pause, one of the reasons why we need to just take time, right? Just every once in a while to just pause and soak things in. I'm so thankful to William Heil. And yesterday, William called a couple of teenagers and said, hey, let's go over to Black Lake Park. And I connected with the teens, and I hung out with William and a couple of kids, and we went on a hike at Black Lake Park. And I've lived here 20 years. I've never gone on a hike at Black Lake Park. It was my first time. And it was beautiful. It was just beautiful walking and stepping on all the grasshoppers that were flying. And, you know, we went to the burial mound out of Black Lake. Never, didn't know that was here. Had me on the internet yesterday researching that because I didn't know that was here. But there's times where we need to just take moments like that, right? And just pause to smell the roses, to smell the flowers. My man Kevin over here, this is like what you do every day. Like, you just take these walks and just soak it in. Time is going so fast. If we don't take a moment to pause and to stop, we'll miss it. A lot of things have been going on. I don't know if COVID has like sped things up, and that's why it seems like time is going so fast. There's a lot of things going on. My daughter's a nurse at Children's Hospital, and you've probably been reading about the uptick in RSV cases, and she's coming home just swamped. This used to be my little girl, but now she's my young woman. Like, this not my young, but that sounds really bad. She's a young woman now who's serving in a very important role, and she's just witnessing the horrors of COVID and RSV and flu, and just so much going on. Last night, got word, a friend of ours, Christy, and I, her name's Shannon. We sang in chorus with her and her, who would be her eventual husband, Bill. We sang bass together. 47 years old, just died yesterday. Like, that's not supposed to happen. Here's a woman who is a caregiver. They fostered for a long time, but eventually adopted 4 special needs kids. She's been an incredible caregiver. Her husband, Bill, has had kidney disease. He's had a kidney transplant. He went through a period where his body was rejecting the kidney, and constantly she's on Facebook and other various spaces asking us to pray for her as she cares for the 4 kids and her husband, and now she's gone. Man, there's just a lot of things going on in our lives, and maybe it is the moment that we start something in particular, and that's what I'm going to be talking about today. But before we proceed, let's just spend a couple minutes in prayer, a couple moments. I'll invite you to pray. I want to say, let's pray. Just whatever's on your heart, just go ahead and pray that prayer to yourself, and And then I'll pray over top in a couple seconds. Let's pray. O El Shaddai, the all-sufficient one, God, our creator, thank you for your love for us. God, I just want to lift up Simon family for Bill, his four kids, the loss of his wife. Just such a beautiful soul. God, just praying for their family right now as they live through this horror show. God, I thank you for her life that was so beautiful and so giving. And God, I know that the legacy that she has left is a powerful one that will ensure blessing for generations. God, also just pray for our world and town, our city, community, as we still battle sicknesses and pandemics and flu and RSV and COVID. God, thank you so much for the doctors and nurses and all those who are on the front lines of just bringing healing to these individuals who are sick. God, I can only imagine that their stress and their emotions are all over the place. So God, in a powerful way, just pray that you would bless them. And God, be with our church as we just continue to seek ways to join you in what you are already doing in the community. Thank you for the hearts of the individuals in here that are eager to serve and to minister to other people. Thank you. God, be with us today. Be with me as I talk a little bit. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. I want us to enter a season of prayer. This isn't new. I do this just about every year, even towards the end of the year. Just a dedicated time of prayer. In a few weeks, we enter what's called the season of Advent. It's the holiday season. It's a time of waiting. It includes Christmas and a bunch of that festivities. And that starts the first Sunday or the last Sunday of November, November 27th. But today, starting at 3:20 p.m., that 3:20 will mean something in just a moment. Starting at 3:20 p.m., I want us to start a 28-day prayer. It's a challenge. I'm asking everyone here listening to participate every day for the next 28 days. If we start today, the 28 days will conclude on November 26th. That's a Saturday. Why pray? Church is just what we do. God's people pray. It has been that way since the beginning of time. Someone once quipped, to be a Christian without prayer is no more possible than to be alive without breathing. Church, I don't want to add another item to your list of things to do or another item to take away precious time away from your already busy day. No, I want us to be reminded that through this ancient practice, that there is more for us to see, and more for us to experience, and more for us to accomplish in the name of Jesus. There is so much to pray about in this current season of life. There are prayers that the people of God have been praying since the dawn of creation. There are prayers that have been prayed since the days of Jesus. There are prayers that have been prayed since the days of the infant church. For thousands of years, we have been praying for healing. For thousands of years, we have been praying for direction, and for thousands of years, we have been praying for changed hearts, and for thousands of years, we have been praying for protection from our enemies. For thousands of years, we have been praying for good fortune for those with whom we love. Church, I'm not suggesting we change the topics of our prayers. I'm just prompting us to take the blessing of prayer serious, particularly during this season of life, and enact it fervently and regularly for the next 28 days together. So as a launching place, I want us to start with Jesus. It's the place it seems reasonable and right to start with. Let's start with Jesus. If you want to read with me, I'm going to read from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 11. Luke chapter 11, starting at the first verse, third gospel, Luke chapter 11, starting at verse number 1. He, and that's Jesus was praying in a certain place, and after he had finished, one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray. Teach us to pray as John taught his disciples." And Jesus said to them, "When you pray, say, 'Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, for we ourselves forgive everyone indebted to us, and do not bring us to the time of trial.'" And he said to them, "Suppose one of you has a friend, and you go to him at midnight and say to him, 'Friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread, for a friend of mine has arrived, and I have nothing to set before him.' And he answers from within, 'Do not bother me. The door has already been locked, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot get up and give you anything. I tell you, even though he will not get up and give him anything because he is his friend, at least because of his persistence, he will get up and give him whatever he needs. So I say to you, ask and it will be given you. Search and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened for you. For everyone who asks receives, and everyone who searches finds, and for everyone who knocks, the door will be open. Is there anyone among you who is, if your child asks for a fish, will give a snake instead, or a fish? Or if the child asks for an egg, will give a scorpion? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?" Years ago, in a sermon series I preached through the book of Luke and the book of Acts, I made the point that one of the major themes in Luke Acts is praying. They insist, the author insists on bringing up and conjuring up the memory of the life of Jesus and his disciples and prayer. At the baptism of Jesus in Luke 3, we find Jesus praying. Luke explains that Jesus had a regular practice of praying. Luke chapter 5 and verse number 16, it says, "But Jesus often withdrew to lonely places and he prayed." Before he chose his disciples, Jesus spent the night in prayer. Before Jesus asked his disciples who they thought he had this moment where he was with them, he asked them, who did they say that he was? He spent time in prayer. Before he was transfigured, Jesus was praying. Prior to the events that eventually concluded with him being crucified, he was praying. And the list doesn't even include the parables and teaching moments that were based on prayer. Jesus prayed a lot and he taught a lot about prayer. And just prior to the text that I read, Jesus was praying. Every time we turn the page to read more stories about Jesus, we are likely to see Jesus praying. Jesus was the teacher and he had disciples, and we claim to be his disciples. Disciples, they do exactly what the teacher does, not just what he says, but also what he does. So if we are making a claim to be disciples of Jesus, we ought to be praying all the time. It would seem to me that Jesus prayed often because he believed in the practice of prayer. He believed in the power of prayer. It would seem to me that Jesus prayed because he viewed it as something that would be beneficial to his life and beneficial to the life of those around him. It would seem to me that Jesus prayed all the time because he experienced the importance of staying connected to God through conversation with God the Father. This episode in the life of Jesus should draw our attention. Not only is it one of the many instances we see him in prayer, but this is also the episode that prompted one of his early followers. After seeing him pray, one of his disciples says, "Lord, teach us to pray." I love the way Jesus responded. We all should be aware that prayer was not a practice unique to the religious experience in the religion, the tradition that he practiced. Religions from all over the world in all forms, they had prayer and types of prayer. Likewise, within that religious tradition, there were folks who taught their followers, disciples, to pray. Accordingly, Jesus' response is a direction that his disciples are to take his direction. Teach us to pray like John taught his disciples. Well, Jesus is saying, okay, I'm going to teach you a way. So follow me this in this. And so he says, when you pray, there's something baked into that statement. Others may pray that way, and some others may pray using this form or that form. Some pray doing that. But when you pray, and what follows is what has become known as the Lord's Prayer. Would you all read this text with me from Luke chapter 11, verses 2 through 4? Is this in the script? There we go. Starting at verse number 2, let's start with the Father. Read this with me. Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, for we ourselves forgive everyone indebted to us. And do not bring us to the time of trial. A couple of quick observations, and you may have felt that as you were reading that. As you began to read that version of the Lord's Prayer, you were probably thinking about the other version of the Lord's Prayer in Matthew. Matthew chapter 6 has a version of the Lord's Prayer. Matthew's version is a little bit longer. This version is notably shorter and omits some of the key phrases that are included in Matthew. But even though not identical, both are short and concise. Luke's version even more concise, and dare I say, simple. Jesus didn't respond to the request to teach the disciples to pray by giving them a two-page, single-space typed prayer, no. Instead, giving them a short, simple prayer. Not something long and verbose. He gave them a model prayer that contains brief praise and brief petition. Let me be careful here. This is not a judgment on long prayers. Long prayers are okay. Bill Schindel, Gray Gaines, I don't know if you all remember this. Years ago, this had to be about 2003, 2004. I remember we went on a retreat. Bill, Greg and Bill were elders at the time. And we went on a retreat at Fort Hill Christian Camp. And I remember it was another elder, another minister, and myself. And we prayed a long, long prayer. It was so long that Brother Dion started snoring. I fell asleep. It was, we probably prayed for about 2 hours. I fell asleep, and it was okay because it was one of the most powerful experiences, even if I missed about 5 minutes. It was one of the most powerful experiences I had ever been involved in. I had never prayed with brothers that long, and we prayed about everything. We prayed about direction. We prayed about finances, and we prayed about ministry. There's nothing wrong with long prayers, but it should be noted that Jesus in his model prayer gave them something simple, probably something that they could remember. This model prayer, we should note, is also just full of invitation. I love that this model prayer invites us into a position with God and into this practice with God and into this intimacy with God. I mean, listen to this prayer, Our Father. That's an invitation to intimacy with God. We just finished talking about that as we talked about the names of God. Knowing the names of God is an intimate posture. It's not speaking to or praying to a God that's so far away that we can't see or touch or feel or experience. No, Father. When we say Father, that's someone who is near and close to us. It's an invitation to be intimate with God. Hallowed be your name. That's an invitation to worship and to live in the holiness of God. God's holiness is something to be held and to be experienced. And again, to be felt. It's an invitation to worship and live in the holiness of God. Your kingdom come. It's an invitation to participate in God's reign. That's what Jesus was here to do, to preach the kingdom of God and all that comes with this new reign. And we've been invited to be a part of that new kingdom. Give us our daily bread. It's an invitation to be totally reliant on God for everything. That's, I prayed earlier, El Shaddai, all God Almighty, or God all sufficient. He is the source of all and every need that I have. Forgive us as we forgive. This is an invitation to live free in the blessing of debt cancellation. I love that scripture uses debt as a way to talk about forgiveness, because when we forgive, we are literally saying to someone, you don't owe me anything. And when God forgives us, he is saying, you don't owe me anything. It's a blessing, and we're invited to live into the blessing of debt cancellation. And do not bring us into a time of trial, or you may be familiar with, or do not lead us into temptation. And that is an invitation to enact God's protection from hardship and sin. That short, simple prayer is an invitation to so much more. When it comes to prayer, church, I think it's perfectly fine to just keep it simple. Prayer is that practice that reinforces our intimate relationship with God. It is the practice that affirms our allegiance to the holy God and allegiance to his kingdom. It is the practice that declares the source of our needs. Prayer is the mode of communication to deal with our debts, our sins, and it is the conversation that holds the request to live in God's protection. That's prayer. And throughout centuries and in the life of man, men and women have captured in their own words the meaning and function of prayer. I want you to watch just a short sample of what some folks have said about prayer. Thank you. Paul wrote this in a letter to the Ephesians, Ephesians chapter 3, starting at verse number 14. He says, "For this reason, I bow my knees before the Father." This is a prayer. "For this reason, I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth takes its name. I pray that, according to the riches of his glory, he may grant that you may be strengthened in your inner being with power through his Spirit, and that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith as you are being rooted and grounded in love. I pray that you may have the power to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, so that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now to him who by the power at work within us is able to accomplish abundantly far more than all we can ask or imagine, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen." I want us to zero in on Ephesians 3, 20 through 21. This is one of the most powerful passages in the entire New Testament. Let's read this together, church. "Now to him who by the power at work within us is able to accomplish abundantly far more than all we can ask or imagine, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen." In prayer, we are enlisting a power that is at work within us and is capable of accomplishing things beyond our grasp, beyond our imagination, beyond our wildest dream. Recall what Jesus said after teaching the model prayer, chapter 11 of Luke, verse number 13. "If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?" For the next 28 days, let us tap into that power, the power that God has gifted us, the power that lives and works within us. And for what it's worth, church, let's just keep it simple. So this is what I want us to do, or at least those of you who are able and interested. I want you to take your cell phone. And I want you to go to your alarm. Go to your alarm. I've already done it. And I set my alarm to go off at 3:20 every day. And at 3:20, when your phone buzzes or rings, and again, I know that some of you aren't able to do that. You know, Dr. Nick, I don't know if you want your phone to go off when you're, you know, citing something to your staff or something, but maybe the buzz will just remind you to, you know, go later. But when it goes off, let that be a prompt, simply to pray, to consider Ephesians 3:20 through 21. "Now to him who was able to do through the power that is at work within us to do immeasurably or abundantly more than all we can ever ask or imagine." That power that is at work within us at 3:20, I want us all to be reminded that we have the Holy Spirit working in us. Not just a portion of the Holy Spirit, not just a percentage of the Holy Spirit. I'm talking about the Holy Spirit that raised Jesus from the grave. That Spirit is working. If you are a believer in Jesus, if you are a follower of Christ, the Holy Spirit is in you, and you are equipped with that Holy Spirit to pray, to beseech it, to ask it, to petition it, to help us, to break us, to heal us, to fuel us, to fund us, to get us to be imagined, you know, use our imaginations to do ministry, to serve others. That power is at work within us. It is often an untapped power that we have with us all the time, and we simply don't tap into it. At 3:20, we are all going to tap into that power at the same time, church. every day at 3:20 for the next 28 days. You can, if you want to pull that scripture up at 3:20 and read that, if you want to memorize it and quote that scripture at 3:20, that's fine. And then just say a quick prayer, whatever is on your heart, whatever God is leading you to pray for. You might be wanting to pray for healing. You might be wanting God to pray, or you might be wanting to pray to God for some clarity or some direction or an idea you want him to cultivate and to grow. Or you might simply pray, "Our Father, hallowed be thy name. Give us our daily bread. Forgive us of our debts as we forgive others, and lead us not into a time of trial." Church, just keep it simple. But let's pray. Throughout this series, we'll be doing some creative things with prayer, some interactive things with prayer during our worship time. And hopefully, if you're a part of a small group, you'll spend some time discussing prayer and praying with one another and tapping into this power that is at work within us. And at the end of 28 days, let's just see what happens. Let's see what happens when we pray. I'll invite the praise team to the stage, and they'll sing a invitation song. This is a moment that we have reserved for prayer. It's a time, if you're a member, a visitor, a guest, you'd like us to surround you and pray with you, pray over you. We want to give you that opportunity to be blessed with the ministry of prayer. I want you also to know that Brother John Hess, he has been doing an incredible work in trying to get us to pray and to pray regularly. If you have a bulletin, we give out a weekly bulletin, we give out a monthly bulletin. And in the weekly bulletin and in the monthly bulletin, there's a calendar there of some names and some issues and items to pray for every day. If you want to use that 3:20 time to pray for today, we're praying for elders. We're praying for shepherds. Let's pray for the process that we are entering into. Tomorrow there's a name there to pray for. John Hess believes in prayer, and he takes the prayer ministry very seriously. You may be receiving text messages every once in a while where he is reporting prayer requests and answers to prayer. If you want to join the prayer ministry, there are spots open for you to join in the prayer ministry. If that is a calling on your life to be a prayer warrior, we want you to enact that call in your life here in the Reynoldsburg body. We believe in prayer. And we're going to pray for the next 28 days, and hopefully it will create a habit in us where we don't have to enact X amount a day prayer challenge. It's just part of who we are. We tap into this prayer power every single day, every moment in our life. As we're singing this worship song, if we can be helpful to you through prayer, we want to give you that opportunity to come as we stand, as we sing this song.